For any Yankee fans looking for a podcast to listen to, I suggest you check out NYY Sports Talk.
Are you listening?
Tune into the fellas.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah.
There's no BS, there's no drama. You just feel like you with the fellas talking baseball.
Welcome back. This is episode 231 of the NYYST podcast. I am your host, Christian, and it's SGR.
What up?
You know, I'm dropping the pirate gimmick. I don't really like it.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad you did. I wasn't a fan of it, to be honest.
Although we did get a little bit of a more symbolism that we should start a Pirates podcast, is that Chris was getting ripped by a guy whose screen name was Pirate something.
Yeah, so, I mean, we could get on it. Let's see how we're doing in the standings. I think the Pirates are on like a 7-game skid right now.
Let's look that up real quick. So, no one cares. I mean, the Yankees. No one cares about the Yankees. We just want Pirates news.
Yeah. Oh, no, they won. 1-1.
They have a
two.
One game. 13. They're 13 and 17.
Yeah.
I mean, the Yankees weren't that far off from that a few days ago. So.
No. Just how quick it could turn, Pirates fans. Still hope.
When you were younger, were you ever told there's no hope with dope?
Yeah, and dare. It was pretty much.
Yeah. Well, there's hope. There will be hope for us if you can leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Please do that. Subscribe to the show on YouTube. Also, please check out the show on Patreon. It's patreon.com/NYYST, and we have a new patron. We'll shout him out, Kasim Amin. I listen to a lot of Small Town Murder, and they always shout out their patrons at the end of the show, and they always make a joke about how they butcher everybody's name. So I definitely just butchered that dude's name.
Amin?
It could be. Yeah. So I do apologize for butchering your name, but thank you very much for supporting the show.
Yeah,
right before hopping on, Ryan was working on episode 3 of Mike's On Late. I haven't had a chance to listen to episode 2 yet. So I'll have to do that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's
good epi, dude.
Yeah.
Good epi. They're quick too. You could bang one out. You get one, you know, quick crank.
Crank it out.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is that when I'm home, I have a limited amount of time to do things. It's like, I'm going to devote my time to watching the game while also watching a 1-year-old. So I don't have time to also listen. So like a lot of the times, like I'm listening to stuff in the car, and because of the way you send the audio file, if my phone goes to, you know, black, it stops playing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I got to flip up. It's a hassle, Ryan. It's a hassle.
I hear you, bro. It's totally cool.
I did say that I wanted to start doing a post game at least once a week on Patreon, but unfortunately I wasn't able to make it happen this week. Sometimes life gets in the way. That's just the way it is. But I wanted to make sure that we got episode 231 out. We sent Chris on assignment this week. We always send Ryan on assignment, but we sent Chris on assignment for this episode.
I've been busier lately. Chris needed some extra work to do, so we got him out there on assignment. He's actually, if we want to spill, he's in Pittsburgh right now. He's scouting out locations for us to move the pod over there. We're picking up and going over.
Yeah, so he's also not here, so we can definitely trigger him and talk the next 45 minutes about the Mortal Kombat movie. We can definitely do that.
You know, I wouldn't mind turning this into a Mortal Kombat pod. I was never really, really big. I think the arcade games were just like a few years before my time, but like still there. But I gotta say, the movie wasn't as bad as I thought it was gonna be. I went in with that's the thing with movies. It's all about the expectations you go in with. Like I was in with bottom of the barrel expectations for that movie. So pretty much anything was gonna be good at that point. But it was a decent movie. I liked it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it was a great movie by any stretch of the imagination, but if you just sit there and want to turn your brain off for an hour and a half or hour 40 minutes, I mean, it was fun. It was a nice callback to some of the some of the games. So I mean, you know, people. I think people have too high expectations of things sometimes, and they want Oscar caliber performances. Yeah. I mean, was there one name actor in this movie? I don't think so. I couldn't tell you.
No, I don't think I could name one person that was in that movie.
So, I mean, really, what are you expecting? It was a gore fest.
Scorpion's been in some stuff. I'm not sure what it was.
It was a gore fest. It was fun. Yeah. I mean, if you played the games and you didn't get a kick out of some of the stuff that happened in the movie, then I don't know. I mean, I would probably say it was probably about a 6, which isn't. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah, it wasn't like people were saying like, oh, the worst pile of crap ever. I mean, I'm sure I could fucking watch 15 other movies. And tell you that they're worse. That goddamn Godzilla movie, Godzilla King Kong, was way worse.
Much better movie than Kong versus Godzilla or Godzilla versus Kong. I don't know. One of the worst movies I ever sat down and watched. Again, expectations a little too high for that one. Hey, what's that guy's name with the like 12 arms or 8 arms?
Goro?
Yeah, he looked, that was pretty shit. That was pretty bad though. He looked like a fourth grader did that CGI.
That was my only. If I had one big complaint about the movie, it wasn't even the CGI on that. It was just that I expected more out of Goro than just being like.
Yeah, they kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the movie's been out how long now? So, I mean, if you haven't seen it, that's your problem.
Well, yeah. You
know. I mean, it's been about 3 weeks. I mean, what's the spoiler limit on Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, really. Like, who's clamoring? Really? Who's getting that mad over that?
All right, so we're done triggering, Chris. Let's get on to the business at hand here. The Yankees, it's Thursday evening, almost 9 o'clock. A few hours ago, the Yankees lost to the Arizona. Jesus Christ. Whenever the Yankees have a bad loss, I get like PTSD and thinking about the 7 of 2001. The Yankees lost to the Houston Astros 7-4. They failed to complete the sweep. Jose Altuve, I mean, I didn't watch the game today. I was busy today, but I listened to a lot of it on the radio. And then I saw the highlights when I got home. I mean, you got to tip your cap to the guy. He swung at a ball at his fucking neck.
And he's got a lot of power in the little body is. He was on a rough stretch, too.
Yeah,
but I don't think he had a hit in that series until today.
I tweeted it as soon as I found out what happened. I would have bet every single cent that I make from today until the day I die that he was going to come up big in that spot. Just like I had that feeling that he was going to walk off Chapman in 2019.
That sucked.
People can say whatever they want about Jose Altuve. But I mean, if you don't follow it with, but he's a great player, then I think you're fooling yourself. Just like the same thing, you know, Carlos Correa is going to be a part of this shortstop free agent class. I think I might hate him more than I hate anybody in Major League Baseball right now. But if we're having a Zoomer in January announcing Carlos Correa as a new shortstop in the New York Yankees, I don't think I hate that.
No,
I don't think I hate it. You?
Yeah, he's top three in the league.
And I mean, there's Alex Bregman, who's just a giant douchebag.
Him, I feel like I wouldn't be able to accept being on the Yankees.
No, because we saw, and it got brought it back around this week, that he jumped in some fans' DMs and was like talking crazy shit to him. Like, dude, come on, bro. Yeah. Like, this is a fan of the team that you play for. Why would you go out of your way to alienate this person to... That's what I don't like. You know, you want to be cocky and defiant towards the rest of the league. That's fine. But take it on your own fan base. Like, imagine if Giancarlo Stanton decided he was going to jump in everybody's DMs.
Oh, right. Because he was, like, suggesting a trade or something, right?
Yeah, this was back when – this was back during, like, peak Chris Sale days. And I think the person suggested that the Astros trade Bregman for Chris Sale. So – I mean, you can't be that sensitive, dude.
Well, you know what's bothering me is apparently the stadium today was really adamant against booing the Astros. A lot of reports from fans at the game saying that they were advised to limit their certain chants at the ballpark, and they were confiscating any, I guess, garbage cans or some anybody bringing in anything, which that part's fine. I'm fine with that. But I cannot get on board with telling fans of opposing teams to quiet down and give this team any sort of break.
No, but here's the thing, and this is what I know a lot of people are getting upset over. It's not that you can't cheer against the other team. It's that they wanted to limit the type of language that was coming out of the fans' mouths, which, look, dude, they're not going to – I mean, you want to say that we're – I'm soft? Fine, I'm fucking soft. But, you know, it's never been okay to chant fuck you to somebody for 3 hours. Like, it's on the back – back when they used to give you paper tickets, it's written as part of the code of conduct for attending the games that you can't say that type of stuff. When, if you ever pay attention to the Jumbotron out in center field, when they – right before the game starts, when they list all the stuff that you can't do, cursing is one of them. Now, whether or not security ever – enforces it is a different story. You know, usually when I, you know, I noticed that when going, you know, when we used to go to games all the time, if nobody said anything, they would kind of let it go. But if somebody complained about it, so I guess, you know, because maybe there was so much attention drawn to it and it was so noticeable that they kind of wanted to cut it down. And, you know, they don't want, I guess, you know, they don't, especially with now you're hearing the stadiums are going to open up a lot more. They don't want people to not want to bring their kids to the games, which I get, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, but see, what bothers me then even more is that it sounds like they're being proactive on this situation, where in most cases the MLB is usually reactive to situations. So now they're worried about code of conduct, right? You know, they weren't worried about code of conduct when the team was cheating their way to a World Series. But, you know, fans can't chant what they want to chant. Look, I get it. There's kids at the ballpark. That aspect of it is, you know, you don't want to expose them to certain, I guess, certain language, whatever. But, I mean, come on, dude. If you're not going to punish these guys with suspensions, if you're not going to even fine the players, then this is their punishment. It's the consequence of cheating, is that there are no limits on what is said when they go to opposing ballparks. You wanted immunity in this? You wanted to not get suspended or fined? That's great. Well, now this is your punishment.
Right. That's fair. That should be their punishment. But also, if you're, you know, the Yankees, I'm sure that you really don't want, or, you know, I don't know. Okay. Whatever. It is what it is. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I know a lot of people were freaking out about it today, but it's not because of the, I just want to make that clear. It's not because of the Astros. Like, you're just never allowed to do that. You know, it's really,
you're
it's
right. Just, that has been known for a long time. Yeah.
They always say and people are like, oh, you know, and I saw a couple of people freaking out about them taking away the garbage cans. They don't let you hit beach balls.
Yes.
You think you're going to be allowed to have an inflatable garbage can? You know, especially when things are heightened because the Astros are in town, you know. I don't know. Today was very disappointing, though. I mean, you got Gerrit Cole on the mound with a chance to sweep, and you lose the game. So, I mean, it puts a real – I mean, the Yankees were on a five-game winning streak. It's just like – it's like when we recorded that Sunday after the Yankees took 3 out of 4 from Cleveland and they lost the final game with a chance to sweep. And it just kind of like takes away any of the good feeling that you had about the series. It's like, okay, you took the first two, you got Cole on the mound, you lose. And like I said last episode, like, you want to think that you're going to win the Cole start, you know you're not going to always win the Cole start. But when you have a chance to sweep, you have a lead in the eighth inning. And look, here, let me look this up real quick. Because this is what kills me. Chad Green comes into the game. And I have no issue with this whatsoever. Because, like I said, I didn't watch the game, but I followed it closely enough. Gerrit Cole was not peak Gerrit Cole today. Meaning he gave up 2 home runs. That's one more than he's given up all season. He only struck out 4. But he got you through 7 with a lead. 97 pitches. I mean, yeah, you know, how much do you really want to push Gerrit Cole in that situation? Because what do you want to say? 98 out of 100 times you go to Chad Green to lead into Chapman with a lead after 7, you're going to win the game. But here's what the problem is, Rye. Tucker is hitting 179. Kyle Tucker's hitting 179 and you walk him. You're just asking for fucking trouble. And then Justin Wilson, when the Gleyber has that great heads up play in the in the bottom of the eighth inning,
yes,
to score that run, right? Wild he has that fun. Great heads up play that makes you harken back to Johnny Damon in the World Series in 2009.
Good call, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. He brings in Justin Wilson, and what does he do? He walks fucking Kyle Tucker. I mean, come on, dude. And here's the worst part, and if you're Justin Wilson, he's a lefty. Lefty, lefty. Mm. You're walking a guy batting 179. You got to throw this guy strikes. If you want, you know what? If Kyle Tucker takes you deep and ties the game in the seventh inning, okay, or the eighth inning, I'm sorry, I live with it. Mm-hmm. You can't walk him. You can't put him on base. Like, you can I always go back to this, right? Because everybody was bitching. Oh, you got to leave Cole Schrace. Okay, I get it. Cole Schrace. But he wasn't Gerrit Cole today. He wasn't the best we've seen of Gerrit Cole today. So you get him through seven with a lead to go to Green and Chapman. You're going to do that 10 times out of 10 times, especially when Cole is sitting on the doorstep of 100 pitches. And he hasn't been great today. But here's the thing. If Gerrit Cole comes out, serves up a home run to Kyle Tucker, who's the villain? Aaron Boone's still the villain. Mm. You know, that's what you have to compartmentalize what the right move is. And in my opinion, the move was going to Chad Green. So the issue isn't Boone pulled Cole too soon. The issue is that Chad Green can't walk a guy hitting 179 and set that inning up for a guy like Jose Altuve on his fucking birthday, who you know is just waiting to do some damage in this series.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing with a team like Houston. When you make those kinds of mistakes, they're going to friggin' jump on them, dude. Exactly what they did.
Right, and they're not a bad team, right? Like, I know a lot of fans are coming in. Like, they have, the Yankees and the Astros have the same exact record, 16-15. Like, this is not a bad team. They still have a lot of really good players on this team.
Look at their lineup. And their bullpen's actually playing well, you know, really, really well right now. And McCullers looks good. Greinke's there. Garcia's having a good year. So, yeah, they're a great team.
I could not deal with Zach Greinke as a Yankee, especially with the type of stuff he has.
No thanks.
With the type of stuff that he has now, that would drive me crazy.
Yeah, with the EIF, you don't like that?
No. The guy can barely
break it. It's wild, though. Yeah, but see, like, he was throwing, 89, topping out, 90. But then he throws a 71-mile-per-hour curveball, and it's like, if you're changing speeds, you're still going to be effective. So he's found a way to still be a pretty good pitcher in this league.
Yeah, but he's like baking fucking brownies from scratch in between each fucking pitch.
I know. Yeah. It's fucked up.
So, I mean, we'll go through – I mean, I don't want to go too deep into the series here. I mean, the Yankees did – and at the end of the day, the Yankees did what they needed to do. They took 2 out of 3. We said they had to do that. It's just that when you have the chance to sweep with Gerrit Cole on the mound and you don't get it done, it just takes – it's just such a sour taste that it leaves in your mouth. But Giancarlo Stanton stays fucking red hot. I mean, dude, when you said Oppo, when you texted instead of Oppo home run, I'm thinking he that was a fucking bomb that he hit the other way.
Liner.
I mean,
it's incredible.
That home run that he hit. Mm-hmm. That home run that he hit in Wednesday's game, and you just I said, dude, he only hit that 107 miles an hour. Only.
Like, it's like he's had a driving range.
It's like a weak shot for him, 107. It's
wild.
But, yeah, man, Stan has been – he's been red hot. I mean, it just cracks me up, though, dude. Like, I was hoping to be in a better mood recording this show because the Yankees would have swept, but, like, now you just want to nitpick everything that bothers you because they didn't. And it's just like – okay, you guys booed this guy midway through his third at bat on opening day on opening day after he just had an historic postseason. And now here we are. Today is what, May 6th? They're chanting MVP for him. I mean, dude, you cannot make this stuff up.
Only Yankee fans. I saw a post on Reddit on the Yankees page over there that actually, and it had a bunch of people, they're called upvotes when it's a popular post, saying that Giancarlo Stanton's actually underpaid. So it went from booing this guy three at-bats into a season to this guy's underpaid.
Yeah. So Monday night, no, it was Tuesday night, they won 7-3. Herman wasn't great, but he gave him six, allowed three. Then they busted it open in the sixth with four runs, three on the Bregman. Well, I think LeMay got credited with an RBI, but it was a three-run, led to three runs on the Bregman error. Odor wound up on the IL on that play, and Maldonado was back in the lineup today, man. I thought he was dead when he took that shot to the head. I mean, he's back, but – you know, Odor's injured now, and we don't know if Urshela is going to be all right because he left the game. He's going for MRIs. And then, curiously, down in Scranton in the middle of the game, Miguel Andujar started playing third base today, just in the middle of the game. So, I mean, he didn't come out of the game, which would have meant that he was probably getting called up. But the fact that the Yankees were like, hey, why don't we get him some reps at third is probably not a good sign.
Yeah, and they'll probably be cautious with Gio and stick him on the 10-day. Call up Miggy.
Yeah, I mean, the defense was really starting to turn a corner, though. You felt a lot more comfortable with this defense. And now you're going to stick Andujar over there, who the Yankees were really trying to shoehorn into being a left fielder because their outfield situation sucks right now. Let's be honest about it. And we'll take Aaron Judge out of it because, what has he struck out, eight times in the last two games?
Yeah. Well, I know he struck out five times yesterday.
Yeah. How many times did he strike out? He struck out at least twice today.
He had two Ks today.
All right, so he struck out seven times in the last two games. He took the platinum sombrero on Cinco de Mayo, and people were like, "Oh, has anybody had a platinum sombrero on Cinco de Mayo?" Who cares? Like, but so you want to just take Judge out of it? I'm sure he'll be fine. I don't know what his fucking problem is. Maybe he's sore again and needs to take 2 days off, and then he can come back and driving eight runs. I don't know. I don't hate Aaron Judge. Like, I understand your level of frustration with him right now because I'm at a frustrated level with him right now as well. Like, I don't think he, I just don't know what his fucking problem is right now. Maybe he just needs to get hot. And then, like, it looked like when he came back from being sore, he was going to get hot, but then it's just like, it fizzled away really quickly. Like, the Yankees need Aaron. Could you imagine if he was even halfway competent right now with the way Stan's hitting the ball?
I mean, you just look at it today. The guys hitting around Stanton, a combined 0-for-9. LeMahieu 0-for-5, and then Judge 0-for-4.
I mean, that's a Yankee fan's wet dream, is to have Stanton and Judge hitting at the top of their capabilities at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Cream.
And it's just like, you know, Stan today, I mean, he had another home run, struck out twice, grounded into double play to end the game, but he hit the ball hard. Bregman makes a nice play. I mean, so, but going back to the outfield, right, I'm not allowed to say anything bad about Aaron Hicks for about another 13 hours because I promised I wouldn't talk shit about him for 36 hours if he drove in a run when the game was tied on Wednesday. It was it was 3-3 in the eighth when he was up. Funny. And I said, if he drives in a run here, I won't talk shit for 36 hours. So we're still about 13 hours away from that. But since then, I mean, he had a pretty solid game today. He went, let me see here. I think he had a couple hits. He went 3-for-3 today. So maybe I should promise not to talk shit about him more, but it looked like on that play that Gleyber scored from first on the infield single, he got hurt. And I think been really busy today. I think Boone classified as cramping in both legs.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens. I can't comment any further because it would be talking shit. Right. So we have to stick to that. Okay. But you know, this is not talking shit. This is just facts. It's just like up until he had that hit, he had three hits today. You know, Hicks has not played well. Brett Gardner has not played well. Clint Frazier. Now, please tell me that you were joking today.
I wasn't, dude.
Please, for anybody that missed this, please tell me what you told me earlier today.
All right. So you know how right behind the dugout now, they put up a screen divider because of COVID, you know, the glass, I don't know, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
So Spike Lee is sitting. Spike Lee, you know, famous director, famous Knicks fan. He's sitting right behind the dugout, and I guess somehow Clint threw him a ball, and you know, which is fine. You know, that's quick, right? You just toss the ball and move on. But he proceeds to then turn around and kind of almost have a conversation with Spike, but they can't hear each other that well because of the glass protector thing there. So he's screaming. He's like, "No, read the ball. Read it. Read it. I left you a note. Read it." And he's like gesturing a lot to, because they can't hear one another. So he's being like over emphatic and just, you know, his body is turned. He's not even watching the game at this point. He's talking to Spike Lee, trying to let him know, "Hey, I wrote a personal message for you on that ball," and like did for Ryan Reynolds a few days earlier.
Did they mention this during the broadcast?
Yeah. Well, they were showing it during the broadcast, and you know, from there they were just talking about it, and then they moved on.
Was this during the game that he was doing
it? It was right after his home run.
Look, bro, the thing he did with Ryan Reynolds is fun and all. And here's the funny part. Apparently he told people he doesn't like being called Red Thunder, but then he signs a hat for, it was a hat, right? For Ryan Reynolds and Red. Okay, whatever. Fine.
Two Green Lantern from Red Thunder,
which was a nice jab because we all know that that was a shitty Green Lantern movie.
Yes.
But I don't want to get off it, but I will say I am a little upset that that movie never got a sequel, because there is a really, really good animated Green Lantern movie that they were building the sequel to take after, and I wanted to see that. I can't remember the name of it now. I think it might have been called like First Flight or something.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. They kind of hinted at that, right, in the Justice League movies, like when they go back in time and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Who knows?
But anyway. All right. So that was, but look, Clint Frazier is hitting 151. You had a nice little home run in this game, but let's face facts here, Clint. You suck right now. You're absolutely terrible. And you cannot be fraternizing with Spike Lee during the game. You, like, I don't care. Look, this would bother me if he was hitting 600. But the fact of the matter is, you're getting benched for Brett Gardner, who, look, it's still early in the season, and we've seen Gardy look washed early in the season only to get hot and play to a certain level. So I don't want to say Gardner's done, because we've seen this from him in the past. But, my God, the fact that we would rather see an over-the-hill Brett Gardner play than you should tell you how bad you've been, and you're too busy worried about playing fucking footsie with Spike Lee during the game. He's got to go. I'm sorry. The Yankees have to trade him. It just shows to me that he doesn't get it, that he will never reach a level of maturity to be a New York Yankee. Now, dude,
you gotta watch the video of it, man. I just watched it again. It's not a good look. I mean, it's you know, you can't do stuff like that when Yankees, you're hitting a buck 51.
I mean, yeah, look, dude, the Yankees have women beaters. They have a guy shooting off a fucking gun. I'm sure they have other guys that are not the most upstanding citizens on this team. But I'm talking about Clint Frazier right now. And what do we always say about Clint Frazier? He doesn't get it. He hasn't matured yet. When he took every last fucking minute to report to Scranton when he got sent down a couple years ago, the Instagram post, whatever the fuck else that he does, it just seemed like a guy that didn't get it. And how old is he, Ron? Was he like 24 years old, 25 years old? He's 26. Now he should be. I mean, at 26, you're a professional baseball player. Now, you've been up in the big league since what? 2017, he made his debut.
Something like that.
I just want to be sure. Yeah, I think it's 2017.
Yeah, he made his debut in 17.
Right?
39 games.
17, 18, 19. 20. You've been in the big leagues for 5 seasons now. 5 years. Parts of 5 years you played in Major League Baseball. You have to get it now. And he doesn't. He doesn't get it.
Right. So then this scenario, it's not even the moment itself. It's what has built up to this, that he still just doesn't get it. And this is just another thing that the Yankees can look at as an example of that. It's not that big of a deal, but when you add it up with all the other things he's doing and it's just another thing, it's like, how much more of this are we going to deal with, really?
Right. Like, dude, you hit a home run today. You're still hitting .151. Do you think that you're able to do stuff like this? Giancarlo Stanton is hitting .500 over the last 11 games. And he's a much bigger star than you are. You think he's out there talking to Spike Lee or trying to get Blake Lively's number? I mean, come on now.
No.
Because you know what? You want to, truth be told, Ryan Reynolds, if Giancarlo Stanton wants to hit on his wife, Ryan Reynolds ain't going to do shit about it. Okay?
Yeah, no, right. Okay. He's got a big piece, okay?
They don't call him Dick Big Stanton for nothing. But, dude, it's just like the Yankees pet this kid's ego in spring training by saying, you're the left fielder, right? Because guess what, Ryan? He was always felt like he was looking over his shoulder. Oh, Gardy's here. Oh, Mike Tauchman's here. Oh, this guy's here. This is not my job. And then they told him it was his job, and he fucking stunk. He was terrible. They traded Mike Tauchman. He still sucks. Now he hits a big home run in the game today, and he's just like, oh, look at me. Now I'm a fucking – no, dude, you just don't get it. You don't get it. We're trying to win a World Series here. Now fucking talk to Spike Lee during a game. I'm sorry. That rubbed me. That really rubbed me the wrong way when you said that. I was hoping that you were fucking lying. I really was. Man.
It was 2 outs in the 4th inning. Convo with Spike Lee.
Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you not paying attention to what your teammates are doing up at the plate?
Can't do that stuff.
All right. Well, a couple of things we want to hit on here. Ask Chris for this, right? Because that was it was in the eighth inning. You know, the Yankees got that run on the Hicks infield single with when Glaber scored from first, you know what I'm saying? And then Higgy grounds into a double play, right? And I texted you guys, and I said, it's amazing how much Kyle Higashioka sucks now that he's been playing almost every day. And Chris took April 27th as the line of demarcation. That was – I just wanted to check what game that was. That was – April 27th was the – excuse me. That was the second game in Baltimore. I don't know why I took that game. Let me see here. I can't find the box score. Maybe that was the first time that he started. I don't know if Gary started in that game or not. I don't know why there's no box score. Like,
well, it would have been.
I think Gary did start in this game.
Would it have been the? No, because I think Gary started game one of that series because the Cole pitched the
right. So game, yeah, April 27th. Yeah, because April. April 27th was the second game. So that must have been when he kind of took over. So
Yeah.
So I knew it was during the Baltimore series, right? So here's Kyle Higashioka since April 27th, right? He's hitting 150 and 20 at bats. Okay. Mm-hmm. One home run, two RBIs, eight strikeouts in those 20 at bats. Okay. His OPS, I gotta add this real quick. I'm terrible at math. His OPS, right, is
1 base plus slugging.
His OPS is 611, which is atrocious. Okay, so he's hitting 150 with an OPS of 611 since he took over as the quote unquote starter. Now, what have we been saying? He's not a starting player. Let Kyle Higashioka do what Kyle Higashioka does. Stop trying to make him a starting player. Everybody thought Kyle Higashioka was going to be the savior. Kyle Higashioka, because they hate Gary so much. And yet, Gary's been fucking putrid. I'm not saying that he's been great. He's been terrible since the first week of the season. But Kyle Higashioka is not your answer. There's a reason why he was a 30-year-old minor leaguer. The Yankees didn't miss on Kyle Higashioka. Come on. So now we can get into this further down the line, but now you got to go. You got to go get a catcher.
The only thing though that makes you kind of hesitant to go back to either Gary or find another catcher is look at what these starting pitchers have done in the last 16 games. I think it's 15 of the last 16 games the starting pitchers have allowed 3 or less earned runs. So, I mean, it seems like when this guy is catching, the starting pitching performs a little bit better. So are you willing to then sacrifice the offensive production to have if the starting pitching continues to look like this?
Right. I do not disagree with that, but the Yankees didn't make this move because of the pitching. They made this move because Gary Sanchez couldn't hit his way out of a paper bag right now.
That's true. Yo, man, he had a terrible at-bat in last night's game, Gary. 3 pitches, and he swung at one like I do in MLB The Show when it's like you just kind of click it at the last second by accident, and you stick the bat out when the ball's already in the catcher's mitt. Ugly, ugly at bat, but I don't know. But you're right, man. That is what it was, right? Because that was the statement that Boone made. We're going to go with the hotter hand offensively. He's just performing better. Deserves to.
Yeah, because if Kyle Higashioka was hitting like this, they would have never made the move. And speaking of bad OPSs, DJ LeMahieu has been terrible this year. I love the guy.
Just kidding.
You did. You called it.
Yeah, not like this, though.
This is not updated.
No, you got to go on MLB.
No, I was on the wrong game. I was still in Baltimore. I was still in the Baltimore series.
Yeah, he's hitting 267 right now.
Yeah, but look at the OPS, though, right? It's what, 6... The OPS is 697. That's bad.
Way down.
You know, yeah, and your brother, what did he say? I want to get the exact text that he sent here.
I don't know. Maybe I missed it. He tweeted it? Or he texted it?
Oh, no, he texted it. He said, DJ really sucks this year, and this is what I said. Should have paid him more because he's playing like a $15 million a year player. We all thought, hey. You know, everybody was saying blank check DJ, blank. Maybe the Yankees should have gave him a blank check instead of holding out for every last friggin' penny because he's playing like a $15 million a year player. You want 20? He's probably saying that. This is what, when I was younger, you always just say to my boss, you're paying me $14 an hour, but you want $20 an hour worth of production. It's not going to happen unless you pay me $20 an hour. So he's getting paid $15 million a year. We want $25 million a year production. He's probably saying the same thing. You want that $25 million a year production, you didn't pay me $25 million a year. The first 2 years were on me. Now you didn't even bother to pay me.
No, I mean, hopefully he can – turn around. The thing that bothers me with him is that he's pulling the ball on the ground, which is something I really don't remember him doing this often, where he's hitting right into the third baseman's glove.
Yeah, and he's already over 20 strikeouts this year, which is not good either. So it's not even the fact that he's rolling over on the ball and hitting ground balls. It's that he's striking out a lot too. So I don't – maybe that's an adjustment that can be made. I don't know. But that's a very disconcerting thing. It seems like we finally – we've been waiting – but here's the thing though, Ryan. We've been waiting so long for one guy to get hot and carry the team, and Stan's done that.
That's true.
Somebody – because. You can't realistically expect John Carl Stan to continue to do this all year long, but you know, can he play at a certain level? Can he be an MVP candidate this year? I mean, if he's going to stay healthy, I don't see why not.
Right. Absolutely. I mean,
but somebody's got to, somebody else needs to step up though. Somebody else on his team needs to step up and help him here.
Well, Gio was kind of being that guy. It's that injury today is really unfortunate because he was somewhat, that balance with Stanton and how you lose his bat and they could be in trouble offensively again.
Yeah. The thing with Urshela though, is that he was more of like a flat line instead of getting never really got like truly hot. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see the Nationals are coming in for a 3-game series over the weekend. And that's not going to be easy. They got swept by, the Braves this week. So they're going to be coming in full of piss and vinegar, probably looking to. And overall this week, you got to be happy that the Yankees are playing better baseball right now, even though they lost today. You got through 7. You were in a position to win. It didn't happen. And like we said, 98% of the time, you're going to win these games. That was the Yankees' first loss after leading after 7 innings this year. I think it's their second. If you go back to the 60-game season last year, between 2020 and 2021, it's their second loss after leading after 7. So like, that's 2 out of a, you know, it's going to happen. I mean, it sucks that it was against Houston. It sucks that Altuve got the big hit. It sucks that you had Cole on the mound. It sucks that you had a chance to go for the sweep, but they won the series. You know, I don't want to be too down on it, you know, but still, this would have been a big game to get. It would have put you 3 games over .500. It would have put you a game out of first place. They just got to continue to build. And don't they just look like a better baseball team though right now?
Absolutely. Every part of their game looks better now. The offensively, defensively, and then their pitching's been great. Starting pitching. I mean, bullpen's been pretty solid this whole time. But defensively, I think, is really going kind of underlooked. It's really since they started putting a competent first baseman over there. Once they had someone who could play first base, the defense has shown such improvement.
Yeah, I mean, I hate Mike Ford. I really do. But
yeah,
the guy is a first baseman.
He could pick it. He could pick it. And think of how many of those errors early on were on the throw, where it was in the dirt, and then, you know, then the rally starts, where first baseman stomps that out when he picks that ball. And that's what, you know, you see every game it seems Gleyber Torres is throwing one in the dirt.
Yeah, I mean, that's seems to be a problem of his. But before we wrap up here, I do got to mention that the Angels designated Albert Pujols for assignment. I mean, the guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about it. But, I mean, if you look at his numbers this year, he's got a negative 0.5 war. He's hitting 198 in 86 at-bats. So, I mean, and they're under .500 again. It just amazes. It amazes me how you have the best player in the world in this freak show in Shohei Ohtani, and you're just never any good.
And a former MVP in Rendon.
Right. He's
unreal.
I think this has got to be Pujols' last year, right? Why? Because I can't imagine they would.
He has. Much. He had one more year on his contract next year. It was a 10-year, $153 million deal, I think. I don't know if it was probably $253 million. Jesus. But he had another year left, I believe. So I think they just kind of wanted to cut ties, maybe give someone else a shot. And Pujols, so I think
– No, I think this I could is see it him. For him. They only say through 2021 on Spot Track.
I could have swore I read that they were buying them out or something.
Yeah, I mean, you.
For the type of this was the final year of his contract, but I guess they'll still have to pay the for pretty much this entire year. They'll have to pay him.
I mean, for this caliber of player, you hope that he, even if he doesn't go to a good team, he just picks up somewhere and is, and can finish his career with a little bit of dignity than having to retire after being designated by the fucking Angels.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if Luke Voigt should be back for the beginning of the Tampa Bay series, if this was a longer term thing for Voigt, I don't see what the harm would be for the Yankees to kick the tires on him, but it's not going to fit right now. Although honestly, because I hate Mike Ford so much, I might want to just sign him for the weekend.
Hey, get a quick rentals weekend signing. I could see him actually going back to St. Louis and kind of having that same role that I've noticed Pablo Sandoval kind of has this year. He's kind of made a name for himself this year in that bench role, guy who comes in for the pitcher, just a one or two at-bats maybe in the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's
strict bench hitter.
If they have a spot for him, I mean, that should probably where he should go, man. That would be the perfect capper to his career. But I don't know, man. It's just fucking aggravating. I hate being aggravated by the Yankees. And I don't know, man.
And this was the game too, right? That they just really should have won. So that's what makes it even more
frustrating. I don't know. Part of me feels like it's my fault they lost today. I don't know if anybody else is like a freak like me. This is what I do, right? This is like a thing that I do. I put on a pair of shorts. I watch the game. If they win, I wear those same shorts the next day. I don't wash them until they lose. But because I was out today and I couldn't wear my shorts, they lost. And I feel like it's like
you couldn't wear the shorts underneath, like underwear. You could have made them your boxers.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got to take one for the team. I mean, that's where the phrase comes for.
This is true. This is true. I'm sorry.
You take one for the team. It's fine.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. I forgot all that.
It's just the weird things that fans do, right? It's just like
I'm a freak too. It's stuff like that. I got this Yankee rock here that I got from work. And ever since I started I do a little fondling of it. I fondle it during the game. And they've been on a stretch, good run since. So I'm holding on to this good
little fondle rock here. You fondle rocks.
Yeah, I like fondling rocks. It's kind of, I kick rocks and I fondle.
Okay, all right. You take a rock, okay, and you form it, okay, into a ball, okay, and then you take it and you throw it. Okay, that's baseball, okay.
Are you a pearl clutcher? I learned that one today.
I never heard that one, dude.
Apparently, it's somebody that shows disappointment or anger towards something, but in an exaggerated way that you're not actually as angry as you say that you are.
That makes sense.
It's called pearl clutching. That's apparently
sometimes I've pearl clutched in the past for sure. I'm clutch.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That's your Urban Dictionary learning for the day.
I like that. Maybe that could be a new segment.
Yeah. Maybe it could be. That'd be cool. All right, so we'll look ahead here. Like we said, the Nats are coming into town. 7:05 Friday night. It's going to be Tyone versus Patrick Corbin. Corbin, who, how many times did we have to fend off people that said the Yankees were cheap for not signing him? His ERA His ERA is 8.10 right now.
That doesn't sound good, too good.
No, it doesn't. But this is another big start for Tyone. I mean, you know, Boone spoke about the training wheels coming off of him and Kluber, and it seems like he hasn't taken the training wheels off of Tyone yet. So, you know, this is a game where Tyone's got to get command early, get through the first four or five innings relatively easy. He's got to see the sixth inning in this game. He has to. I mean, we're at May 7th now. Jameson Taillon's got to pitch in the fucking sixth inning in this game.
I agree.
105 on Sunday. This could be a, real sexy matchup. Max Scherzer, who's going to be a Yankee in July anyway, so he's going to figure out where his locker is going to be during this game against Kluber. Corey Kluber is a starting pitcher, okay?
Corey Kluber is a starting pitcher, okay?
So can Kluber keep this run going? These dominant string of starts that he's had. What's, you know, that's going to be a, that could be a fun pitching matchup there on Saturday and to close out the series. On Sunday, it's Domingo Germán against Joe Ross.
Joe Ross? God, I feel like they breed Rosses over there. Isn't that Tyson's, bro?
I'm not really sure. So, I mean, these are all pretty even pitching matchups if you want to look in, take a look into the numbers here. But, again, you know, you swept Detroit. You took 2 out of 3 from the Astros. You can't have a letdown against the Nats. We got to be sitting here recording Sunday night after the Yankees win another series. Again, I'm not going to beg them to sweep. But if you have a, but again, if they're going to go into Sunday with a chance to sweep, finish it. Finish the sweep. But just win, but again, just win the series. Keep stacking series wins. Keep stacking wins. And we'll get there. But just see how, we just see how much things have been better since they've started playing a little bit better. These games, there's still these little things. These games are going to stick out in your mind. Now, not winning the finale in Baltimore, not winning the finale in Cleveland, not winning the finale in Houston, against Houston, until the Yankees can start stacking enough wins together and getting 10, 15, 20 games above 500, we're still going to be looking at these games. So just keep doing what you got to do. Take the day off, and then this is going to be – we'll talk about this on Sunday, but then you're in Tampa. The season, yeah. I mean, you don't want to say your season's make or break on May 11th to the 13th, but I mean, you can't go down there and lay a fucking egg. You just can't do it.
It sets a statement either way. I mean, you go out and lose again to the Rays, and what does that show you? But if you go out and you sweep them or you win the series, then you're really starting to look up, because that's been the kryptonite to your team for the last several years.
So the Nats are in town. Nats are in town over the weekend. Just got to go out there and keep winning games. And you hope that if Stan cools down, that somebody is there to pick it up for him. Because this guy, it's been fun to watch. This is what you've been waiting for. I mean, even in 2018 when he had the 38 and 100, even during that stretch when Judge was hurt and he was carrying the team, he wasn't like this. This is the postseason carried now into the regular season. This is Giancarlo Stanton. This is what we've been waiting to see. So, you know, like we said, we don't expect him to keep it up all season long. But, I mean, if he stays healthy, this could be – like maybe we were wrong about Aaron Judge. And this, our MVP candidate is going to be coming from Giancarlo Stanton this year. But, you know, Judge has got to pick it up. LeMahieu's got to pick it up. And Kluber has got to put one in the fucking seats, man. Please.
Yeah, man. I know. He's been close, too, on a few balls. Like that one against Baltimore? That when they ended up losing that game? I think it was Baltimore, right? He hit the tying – he got the tying run on a double, but usually that ball's going out.
Yeah, there's been a couple close calls for him, but
– yeah.
Okay. All right, so okay. We want to thank you for listening to episode 231 of the NYYST podcast. I don't know what the hell you're doing over there. Are you punching air?
Hell yeah.
So please follow us on Twitter at NYY Sports Talk. Please go to Patreon, support the show there. Once again, the address is – I want to get this correct. I know what it is. It's patreon.com/NYYST. $5 a month will get you plenty of exclusive content. And I believe there's also perks merch-wise involved as well. The first two episodes of Mike's On Later up. Ryan will have the third one working. And then, we're hoping to add more content. It was a rough week. We'll just say that. Yeah. you know, shit happens. But we wanted to make sure we got a show out today. So thank you for listening to episode 231 of the NYYST podcast. Stat guy Rye.
Go Yanks.
All right. We'll see you in the next episode. Who am I?